Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the New World Order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hey everybody, this is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we are brought to you by preparewithdave.com for the very best in storable food with 40% off. Don't put this off any longer, folks. Prep your family. Protect your family. Go to preparewithdave.com. We're also brought to you by Virtual Shield. Hear me and hear me clearly. The day is coming when you're going to be persecuted for where you go on the net. And I don't mean doing bad stuff. I mean just curious stuff, you know, right-wing, conservative, Christian. And they're going to come for you just like they do in China. You know who's behind it. Same people, Google. And Google is destroying humanity. And speaking of destroying humanity, our guest is Mike Adams. He's waiting in the wings. But first, I need to tell you how to get to Virtual Shield. Protect your online experience right now by going to hidewithdave.com. And Mike Adams and I both wish we could do more obscuring of where we emanate from. I've often kind of regretted not using an alias, but they would have still figured out who we are. Mike, I want to welcome you to the show. Glad you could come on. And have you ever thought that maybe it would have been wise for you to use an alias as well?
Well, you're right, though. They can always figure out who you are over a period of time. So I thought actually it's better to just be who I am.
Yeah, exactly.
And just be authentic and, you know, let the cards play out that way.
Well, we've done a fair amount of talking over the last several years on various issues. And Steve Quayle reached out to me and says, have you seen what Mike Adams has been doing with regard to the subject material for our conference in Branson in September? And by the way, and I'll mention this a couple times before we're done, you can register for that conference on Steve Quayle's site, stevequayle.com, or go to gen6.com, and we'll get back into that a little bit later. But I said, you know, I haven't seen it yet. And I looked at it, and Mike and I were able to find a time to talk about this. And Mike, this topic about the conference in Branson is really kind of off your traditional beaten path. And so go ahead and introduce the topic, and I'd like you to tell the audience why you're kind of taking a sidestep here into this subject area where I really haven't seen you go before.
Well, I've been reluctantly dragged into this area, but I can't ignore it. A couple of months ago, I published an article in Natural News that talked about terraforming and how it was preparing the planet for what I called the post-human era. And that article, I don't know, it's up on Natural News. I forgot the exact date of it. But since then, I've heard a lot of feedback from people who wanted me to develop this idea a little bit more or give more details. And Steve Quayle reached out to me. I sent him an overview of what my research has found since then, some of it lab research, some of it just online research. And he invited me to speak at the conference to do a full two-hour presentation about this. And what it's really focused on, and I know this may seem out there at first to people, but I assure people this is an evidence-based presentation. It's based on the hypothesis that a non-Earth entity, a civilization or intelligence, is in fact influencing Earth to convince humanity to terraform the planet and destroy the human race in preparation for the planet being what I call a post-human era, which means colonization by non-Earth entities. Now, I know that, again, at first it sounds like, what? What are you talking about? An alien invasion? Well, it's a little more complicated than that, actually. But if we start with the scientific evidence, it becomes irrefutable. And that's the angle I have, is as a lab scientist, we start looking at, well, what sustains our ecosystem on Earth right now? And the answer is photosynthesis. And what drives photosynthesis? Well, there are only three inputs, really, sunlight, carbon dioxide, and water. And then if you look at the globalists and the scientific establishment and the media, they are at war with 2 out of 3 of those things. They're at war with sunlight. They say there's too much sun. They're against global warming. They don't want a warm, wet planet. They want a cold, frozen, dead planet. They want lower ocean levels. They want an ice age, essentially, across the planet. And they want to destroy CO2, which would collapse plant life across the world, collapse the food webs and the ecosystems both on land and in marine or aquatic ecosystems. And with the collapse of the food web, you would get, of course, massive social unrest, starvation, outbreaks of infectious disease, geopolitical unrest, and total chaos planet-wide, which would result in a mass die-off of 80 to 90% of the existing human population. And if you start to look at this from a scientific point of view, you have to realize that the climate change agenda that's being pushed out there, it's not an agenda to stop climate change. It's an agenda to change the climate, to dim the sun, to lower oxygen concentrations in the atmosphere, to shut down photosynthesis, and to cool the planet and create more of a frozen cold planet with ice covering more of the continents and so on. So that's, I mean, we'll go into a lot more of it here, and you can ask whatever questions, you know, that you think are relevant, but that's the premise of what I'm going to be presenting in Branson at the Gen 6 conference, True Legends.
You know, as I was saying to you before we went live today, great minds think alike, and I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I have talked about a lot of these same issues in broadcasts that I've done, articles I have written. In fact, I likened what's going on to the Charlie Sheen 1997 movie called The Arrival. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, yes. Absolutely, yeah.
And just so the listening audience may not be aware, it was a movie where he discovered aliens living among us who could shapeshift into human form, and they were basically doing the frog in the boiling pot routine where they were turning up the temperature of the planet where the humans would become extinct and they would take over in a 20-year period. Very similar to what we're talking about here. Not necessarily the same mechanism of takeover, but the idea that they're transforming the environment.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And in fact, one of the really fascinating theories that I present in this is let's assume that an advanced civilization has faster than light travel. And now, faster than light travel requires a lot of energy to bend space-time around a spaceship. It's called a warp bubble drive system, and it allows ships to move faster than light without breaking the laws of relativity and so on. You're actually warping space-time, and so the ship is technically not traveling faster than the speed of light, but it's moving across the universe from point A to point B faster than what the speed of light appears to be. Now, this requires a tremendous amount of energy. And even if you were to travel at, let's say, 1,000 times the speed of light, or 1,000 C, understand that the Milky Way is 120,000 light years across. And it's 1,000 light years thick. So it's like a giant spinning disk. So even if you could travel 1,000 C, it would still take you 120 years to move across the Milky Way from the end of one spiral arm to another. Or it would take you a year to move all the way through the thickness of the Milky Way. But moving from planet to planet, even if you have that technology, takes a tremendous amount of time because of the vast amount of space that's involved. And for this reason, any advanced civilization would rely on AI drones. They would send out perhaps millions of AI drones across the cosmos to do this travel and to explore habitable planets that could be tweaked and modified to be colonized later on, or to be stripped of resources, or whatever their goal might be. So it's almost certain that, in fact, the first arrival to our planet was non-biological systems, or AI drones. AI systems that, you know, basically like right out of Star Wars, those drones that they send out to search the planets and scan everything and report back home. And then these AI systems, because they're very advanced technologically, they can also begin to infiltrate the technology of the home indigenous species. And they can start to overtake that species in terms of its telecom infrastructure, you know, perhaps search engines, right? News media, facts, scientific establishment, and so on. And then they can convince that species to start killing itself. And they can convince that species to start terraforming the planet even before the biologicals ever arrive. That would be the smart way to do it. And that may be what's happening. I'll present some, I think, strong evidence that this is what has happened. But it's not proof, but it certainly is something curious to think about.
You have said in print, and I agree with you, I've said pretty much the same thing myself, that Google is the enemy, not just of the people of this country, the Republic, the Constitution, but they are the enemy of humanity.
Right.
And I just had a light bulb moment, Mike, as you were speaking. Maybe they're the enemy of humanity because they're not representing humanity.
Well, you're exactly right. That's part of... Well, here's the thing. You know how the news media every day, they say something that is contradictory to the interests of humankind. The news media, every media outlet, NBC News, New York Times, you name it, right? They all get the same memo every day. And this memo tells them what to say. And the memo tells them even the exact words and phrases of what to say, which is why on any given day, all the news media sound exactly the same. Now, what if that memo that's being sent to all the media is not actually authored by a human intelligence? Do they know where that memo is coming from? Do they know the person writing it? Do they know what's behind it? The answer is no. These journalists are just puppets. They're getting information. They're repeating it. They're pushing it out there to brainwash humanity. Say, oh, climate change is going to destroy the world. Oh, we have to pollute the atmosphere. We have to do geoengineering. We have to shut down carbon dioxide. You know, we have to shut down freedom of speech. We have to stop promoting organics. All these things, all these messages, these are all designed to destroy humanity. And I believe there's strong evidence that the origin of these messages is non-human.
You know, it's interesting. I was speaking with Chris Kissy, the former owner of Before It's News and heavy into Bitcoin and alternative currencies. And we were talking about this around a month ago. And you just said what he said.
Really?
Word?
Really?
Word. Oh, no question. No question. We got about 10 minutes on an interview we did together. We were doing stuff on alternative currencies and Chinese organ stealing and that kind of thing. And he's very much into studying China. And the subject of ETs came up. And he said that there are, let's put it this way, the influence is here. And he repeated what you said almost word for word.
Wow. See, that's fascinating to me that there would be so many spontaneous parallel lines of realization along this, because I've never spoken to him, the person you're referring to.
He is a fascinating individual. A lot of people just identify with Before It's News, but his depth and scope of the issues goes way beyond that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you're so right about that. Those of us who are in the independent media, we are curious about everything, including the cosmos. And it's just that maybe we don't talk about that all the time, but you can't have, as far as I'm concerned, you can't have a galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, 400 billion stars. How could we not be one among many other civilizations? You know?
You're right. I'll give you a long story short. After my father completed work of rewiring combat information centers, including the first ship, the Carrier Roosevelt, to accept nuclear weapons, he was retired from the Navy 6 months early to take a position outside Denver, Colorado, at now Lockheed Martin, and it was Martin Marietta. And he worked with captured German scientists at the tail end of that project. And he started disclosing everything to me in the last 2 years of his life when he was terminal, and I was visiting him every night. And he said to me, he said, I asked these Germans, how did your physics become 300 years, 500 years ahead of us?
Right.
And he said, to a person, they all said it was aliens. And then he asked him an important question. He said, did you ever meet them? And they said, no, but our commander did. And he said they believed it. Now, he was not convinced. So I carried that non-convinced attitude forward with me. But I have to tell you, Mike, when I listen to people like you talk about this, or Chris Kissy, or Steve Quayle, I am beginning to change my mind. Now, I don't know the true origin of these species. They could be fallen angels. They could be from Andromeda. I mean, who knows?
Right.
But there is mounting evidence for what you're saying. And I want to just ask you a question about a TV show. And I went back and I've reviewed this show this summer. It was canceled a year ago. It was called Colony. Are you familiar
with that? Oh, right. Sure, yeah. I watched that.
And here's what I was curious about. How could a show that had such a loyal following, how could this show get canceled? And then I found out in season three, USA Network sabotaged their own show. They changed the night. They never advertised it. I went through all these things you would do to kill a show, and they did. And in the final episode, you're finally getting to the purpose of the alien invasion and who's behind it and what they're doing. It's a good treatise on martial law, but it's even a better treatise on what you're talking about, and at the very moment where revelation would come from in the show, if it continued into a season four, which it didn't, they abruptly cancel the show.
Yeah, it was a very good show. Good writing, good acting, everything about it was top-notch. But what I found most interesting about it was that it presented the idea of different non-Earth factions. So there are some factions that are trying to defend humanity, and then there are other factions that are trying to destroy humanity. And, you know, I guess I should have said spoiler alert before I mentioned that, but...
The show's been canceled for a year, so...
Okay. All right. So, you know, the first invading aliens in that fictional show, they were... really long term, they were the defenders of humanity, but they had to get humanity to build a defensive system, exotic weaponry defenses, which they built on the moon in the show. Now, that is actually right on. You would build a defensive system on the moon. And in fact, I'm covering the moon in quite a bit of detail at the Gen 6 conference, because what's unique about the moon is that the dark side of the moon is always facing away from Earth, which means the period of axis rotation of the moon is exactly the same as its orbital period around Earth, which is extremely rare in the cosmos. It almost never happens that way. But it makes an ideal platform for both observation and planetary defense. For observation, you'd put your telescopes, your radio telescopes and optical equipment on the dark side of the moon. You'd always be looking out away from Earth, and you wouldn't have the light pollution of Earth. So it's an ideal observation platform. It's also an ideal weapons platform. Of course, the moon is the gravitational high ground above Earth, which sits in the bottom of a gravity well, as does any planet, of course. So the moon is the high ground, and the moon is the planetary defense real estate, you might say, from a cosmic point of view.
Do you think, from what you've seen, and this is a difficult question, so I apologize for the vagueness of it in the beginning, but what I'm wondering, and I'm basing this question on the show Colony, because Colony was based on the idea that aliens came here, subjugated the Earth, and then began to conscript resources and people to fight against the enemy that wanted to extinguish them, and the battleground was going to be Earth. Do you think we have a one-to-one encounter with alien species, or is there multiple agendas going on at the same time?
Well, I think probably the cosmos, even in just in our own galaxy, is a very complex ecosystem and economic system as well. You know, the laws of economics apply to non-Earth civilizations, just as do the laws of physics. And, in fact, part of my talk talks about exotic... fuel production and fuel delivery to fuel the faster-than-light drives that allow ships to travel from one planet to or one star to another. And this puts real limitations on any civilization. You know how, I think it was Arthur C. Clarke who said that any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic, but it's actually not magic. It still has to follow the laws of physics, and alien civilizations still have to follow the laws of economics, supply and demand. There are still limited resources in the universe and so on. There are certain types of stars that are energy sources that are easier to harvest than others. For example, pulsars, which are a special type of rotating neutron star. Pulsars are energy factories that can be relatively easily harnessed. Pulsars would be sort of the oil fields of the Milky Way. So an area that's rich with pulsars would be like the Middle East of our world here on Earth. And once you understand these things, then you start to understand there are geopolitics happening on a cosmic scale, and it's probably very complex interactions between different warring factions and their quests for resources, including habitat resources, which would include Earth. So it's a very big and very complex picture, and we don't, of course, know all the answers, but we can take some very, you know, educated guesses.
I have a point of concern here, and a lot of people don't know this about me. They know my background in psychology because that's what I've taught at the university level, and they know I was a therapist and a statistician. But a lot of people don't know is I have undergraduate degrees in history and sociology. And here's the point, Mike, and this is where I'm really worried. When an inferior culture is encountered by a superior culture, the superior culture, A, either absorbs that culture and it ceases to exist, or B, they obliterate it.
Yes.
And that's my concern about what's going on now.
Well, I think we have been scheduled for annihilation. And the easiest way for an advanced alien civilization to annihilate Earth is to get Earthlings to commit suicide. And that's what's actually happening, I believe, that Earth is being terraformed and depopulated by the actions of humans who think they are answering to some higher globalist agenda, but they may actually be answering to a non-Earth agenda / intelligence. And they're leading us down a path of self-annihilation. So think about it from the point of view, if you're an advanced alien civilization, you don't want to land a bunch of alien craft on the planet and run around slaughtering everybody. That's too much work. It's so much easier to just get them, convince them to do it to themselves. Really?
No, I don't disagree with you. And we can go back to War of the Worlds, and they could face a biological problem on this planet. Our diseases and I saw something once on the History Channel. They talked about how we could defend against an alien invasion, a hypothetical scenario. And I thought it was really ingenious. They said you'd have to find a way to implant our diseases in their living systems and then watch it spread, because they would probably have no immunity for what they would encounter here. Now, I don't know if that's true or their technology could overcome it, but it was sure an interesting concept. And doing what you're suggesting would avoid that pitfall. And also, they wouldn't have to use all the resources it would take to go door-to-door to exterminate us.
Well, right. And the biologicals are the last to show up and the last to colonize. And so on, the biologicals, in any really advanced civilization, we're seeing this in our own civilization, you're going to use automated systems to do all the work for you as much as you can. So in the same way that we're going to have automated trucks driving down the highways and delivering goods and services, advanced alien technologies have automated ships that deliver faster than light drive fuel from one star to another, one hub to another. All of that is as automated as possible. And so you can imagine that weapon systems would be highly automated, information systems, hacking and cyber warfare systems, defensive systems, transportation, all the things. You know, again, don't think about non-Earth entities as being capable of magic. They aren't. They still have to follow the laws of economics and transportation and the rules of physics and gravity and so on. So they have obstacles too. And to send a biological out to do this work is very costly and very non-efficient in any civilization. You'd want to have robots or automated systems or drones do as much work as possible.
And interesting, this is the technology transfer we're seeing going on today on our planet. Exactly what you're talking about. Where warfare is less about men and more about machine.
Well, right. And drones are actually ideal for outer space because, you know, drone aircraft have to maneuver in thick atmosphere and they have to control multiple flight surfaces and so on. It's actually very complex to fly a drone versus an outer space drone. In outer space, you don't have wind, you don't have turbulence, you just have vectors of thrust. Drones in outer space are actually easier to operate, easier to program. And navigation is easier. You just use the star field as a map for navigation. So you're going to have automated drones doing mining of mineral resources and so on. You're going to have drones setting up, you know, fuel factories. You're going to have drones checking out possible planets for colonization, finding where there's liquid water, and all the other things that have intrinsic value to any civilization. But getting back to something you mentioned earlier, I got to say, on a cosmic scale, humanity has zero value. Humanity has not done anything that is of value on a cosmic scale. All humanity has done is carried out a tremendous amount of destruction and suffering, and hasn't contributed anything, hasn't developed anything that would be of value to any advanced civilization. We're little children with nukes, basically.
I just did a podcast in two parts called The Day the Earth Stood Still, and it was a 1951 movie where an actor played by, it was Michael Rennie, played this person who was an alien, landed in a ship in Washington, D.C., and a robot came out, and he could destroy everything. And they gave this robot complete control over both themselves, the aliens, to keep the peace. And here's what he said to the world leaders that eventually came together. He said, "We don't care about your warlike ways on the Earth, but you're moving into space now. And you go out there and do this, and we'll burn your planet to a cinder, and we'll use this robot to do it."
Yeah,
that was 1951, yeah. Mike.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Well, and it's because the laws of physics are universal. For example, alien civilizations would not want Earth to destroy our planet with radiation, because radiation is something that would destroy the natural resources for anyone, including post-humans. So there are reports, and I don't know if I believe these or not, I haven't researched this, but there are reports of certain factions with ships hovering over nuclear silos and disabling the nuclear missiles. And there are reports that there have been nukes that have been launched and then disabled in flight.
The late Jim Mars said this very thing on my show, my last interview I did with him. In fact, he made this quote. We always talked about the Kennedy assassination, secret societies, and then he hit me with a bombshell. He'd never said anything like this before in all the years I interviewed him. He said, "You can't understand what's going on the planet today until you consider the ET question."
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, Jim Mars, may he rest in peace. He was one of the best researchers and writers of our time.
Yes.
And he was willing to go into these areas. And I know he was working on a book when he died, and I don't know what the status is of that book, but I hope it sees the light of day.
Well, on the subject, I know that. He told me what he was working on. And I've not seen it come to light. I mean, a partial publication of his work would be better than nothing. Do you know who Robert Dean was?
The name sounds familiar, but I don't
know. Yeah, and you know what? Not a lot of people do, and I didn't mean to trap you into that question. I apologize. But let me tell you who Robert Dean was, and it goes right along the lines of exactly what we're talking about here. I heard a man named Vance Davis, who's become a good friend of mine. He was in the NSA, and the first time I ever heard Art Bell show is when he was on it, and he was talking about the secret space program. And I thought, oh, my gosh. And this is the thing I couldn't talk about, because if I would have spoken while my mom was alive and revealed classified secrets, she'd have lost everything from his pension, house, bank account, everything.
Wow.
So I reached out to Vance thinking we both had about the same amount to lose, and we became fast friends. He introduced me to Robert Dean. Robert Dean was the senior non-com of NATO for years. He had the power of a five-star general. This guy was phenomenally powerful. He sat down with Vance and I and another guy who was a contract agent for the CIA at one time, and he told us, he said, there are over two dozen alien species visiting the Earth. He pulled out a notebook, showed me drawings, caricatures of them, and he said, they have competing agendas for us. And he said, and many of our leaders and corporate leaders are aware of it.
Yeah, I think that sounds right. There would have to be competing factions, and some have our interests in mind, but probably most don't. You know, what are we to them?
Yeah,
we're just an infant species. We've only had a couple hundred years of technology. We can't offer them anything.
Well, I have not been able to talk about this for very long, and I've come to a different opinion than my father. Than he said, without proof, I can't believe they're aliens, and I don't believe these German scientists. But since that time, you know, with my contact with Jim Mars and now what you and Steve Quayle are bringing forth, I've changed my mind.
Yeah.
I think you're right on the money. There's too many good people with too much research showing that there's an agenda.
Yeah, you know, I didn't believe this for a long time either until it became, when I really started to see the climate change agenda being pushed so aggressively. You know, as a lab scientist myself and a published scientist and a patent holder, I just couldn't stand by and just, when they said, look, carbon dioxide is bad, they said, it's going to destroy the planet. It's a pollutant. We have to eliminate carbon dioxide. You know, big red flags were going off in my mind. Like, what? Carbon dioxide is the basis of life on Earth.
Yes.
If you don't have CO2, everything collapses. Every plant, every animal, every civilization is gone, including in, you know, ocean life is gone as well because the fish breathe oxygen, right? Dissolved oxygen in the water. And where does the oxygen come from? Plants. Where do the plants get their energy? You know, carbon dioxide and sunlight, you know, photosynthesis, that it's in sea algae as well. It's in seaweed. It's the basis of life in the oceans. So when you hear people, you hear scientists in the media say we have to eliminate carbon dioxide. It's rising dangerously. The earth is going to warm. I'm thinking, what's wrong with a warm, wet, greenhouse-like planet versus what they want, which is a cold, frozen, dead, no plant life, no food web, you know? And it hit me. These people don't want Earth to be habitable by humans. That's when it hit me. That's when I really started to dig into this, to say, what would compel Earth's scientists to pursue a narrative that would destroy humanity and destroy our planet as a habitat for humanity? And you have to follow the evidence from that point. And it leads you to some interesting places.
Are we the natives occupying islands Columbus is ready to visit with smallpox-infested blankets?
Right. Right. Well, it's a very simple matter for an advanced civilization to engineer a bioweapon that could selectively destroy the human species. So, you know, you look in the news and people are worried about Ebola, rightfully so, and the CDC and the vaccines and so on. You know, it occurs to me that vaccines would be the vector to introduce the kill switch. You just put them into the vaccines.
So you have a dormant ingredient that becomes activated by something else?
Yeah, right. A binary weapon system. Half of it's in the vaccine. Half of it's something else. And engineering.
That would explain the use of things like squalene.
Yeah, you know, there are all kinds of ways to do it. Even you can, through 5G networks, you could theoretically broadcast certain electromagnetic frequencies that would activate certain structures, molecular structures or genetic structures based on wavelengths and so on, kind of like electromagnetic cymatics. That's all feasible as well. You know, you can create structure through waves. There are many, many scenarios that could be possible for this. So, and we have to think even that you're talking maybe millions of years more advanced technology than anything that we can even conceive. So if there's a species out there that wants to eliminate humans, it's a simple matter. But they do need your compliance. You know, they want you to sign up and line up. Here, inject me with the toxin. You know, it's easier if people just, like, think about it. If Adolf Hitler could just get all the Jews to just load themselves into the boxcars, sure would have been a lot easier for him, right? And that's the same kind of mindset. Why work at it when you can just convince people to kill each other?
Doesn't there have to be some kind of cooperating human global authority connected to these aliens?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's an upper echelon, you know, globalist, elitist type of people who are being promised something for their cooperation. And some pretty good guesses about what's being promised to them might include digital immortality via transhumanism.
Oh, yes.
Right? So, hey, if you agree to help us kill off all the other humans on Earth, we'll give you eternal life and you'll rule over this computer system. Or you can join our network. Or another promise would be advanced technology. So if you help us kill off humans, we'll let you live on this planet with us, and you'll have this technology, maybe it's medical tech, something to give you biological immortality. Lots of promises that can be made, and a lot of people are willing to betray their own kind. So there's no question that some of that's going on.
How do you think, let me back up and say this. I know from the work of my father, because he surmised this when he said that the technology they were working on never showed up in NASA. And he said that, you know, 20 years after he stopped working on us, he goes, I'm still waiting for it to show up. He said, we did it in the lab.
Yeah.
So since you had a secret space program, obviously, what do you make of Trump's, I think it's a fake creation of a space force that's already existed. He just took it over from the Air Force, who was housing it on behalf of the CIA. This is what I've been told, what I know. How does this space force with Trump, have you thought about how this could somehow fit into what we're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. There's been work in this area for a long time, and as they are unable to continue to cover it up because of whistleblowers and, you know, things leaking out, you know, you've seen the footage from the Air Force pilots encountering, you know, non-Earth aircraft and so on. As this is leaking out, they have to have cover stories for this. So sure, they have a narrative now to explain what's going on, but I also think that there's a lot of compartmentalization where they're keeping a lot of information from Trump himself. So Trump has not been given the keys to the kingdom in terms of exotic alien tech. He doesn't, he's probably only seen a fraction of what's actually in existence. And another thought on this, Dave, is that some of this technology has to be kept under wraps because, of course, it would, if it were made public, it would destroy the current, quote, balance of power in geopolitics, which, and you know this very well, you've covered this, the U.S. dollar, the only reason it exists is because it's based on the global reserve currency for purchasing oil.
Right. Correct.
So if you introduce alien tech that makes oil obsolete, you immediately make the dollar obsolete, which means you destroy the entire United States government's ability to manipulate world events and create money. So, you know, the ripple effect is catastrophic, you know, to those in charge, I should say.
Do you know who's covered a lot of this? Pretty much along the lines of what we're talking about, a secret human group, the use of vaccines, interacting with ETs, and basically the goal is the eradication of humanity. The early days of X-Files dealt with this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't watch the show a whole lot. But they used to have, I saw a couple episodes where they had this boardroom of men who were globalist leaders that would come together in secret and talk about how they were cooperating with the ETs and what they needed to do on the planet. And then here you had this FBI agent was trying to uncover the plot. And that was basically the show. You know, the show never really held my attention, but the concept was interesting. And I think that's kind of what has to happen here. There's got to be some conduit here towards this. And you wonder, do they talk about this at the Bilderberg conference? I mean, you know, how far down do they let this information flow?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. But my guess is that it doesn't have to flow down very far at all. Because, for example, on the climate change narrative, all you have to do is convince a few of the top globalists and control a few of the science institutions, such as, you know, the EPA or the journal Nature, things like that. Once you control a few, everybody else is obedient to those apparent authority institutions. So the average scientist that's on, you know, MSNBC, that's out there screaming about how we have to dim the sun and we have to eliminate CO2, that person is not in the loop. That person has no clue what's really happening. They're just following what they've been told by the top gatekeepers.
Mm-hmm.
So because of the hierarchy of the way science is structured and even the way facts are structured, news, you know, news, facts, information, everything comes back to a few central sources. So all that has to happen is those sources have to be infiltrated and compromised. And that has been done to the point where now, again, Google is telling you that organics is a lie and that nutrition is bad. So, you know, where did that come from? Well, it trickled down through the system of false facts. And so Google is actually a poison to humanity now. Google is acting against the interests of humanity. And the same is true with others.
So if we have Google as the protector of the agenda and the facilitator of the agenda, then they're attacking natural health care because it's actually more effective than Big Pharma. I mean, what's the motive here?
Well, it is, of course, a destruction of the human race. A lot of it's through infertility. A lot of it's through transgenerational cancer. So when you start eating these toxic substances, and this is an area where I'm a published scientist, you start eating pesticides and herbicides and other chemical exposure, such as hormone disruptors, estrogen mimickers, they have a transgenerational effect that can compromise future generations as many as 4 to 7 generations. And this has been shown in lab mice experimentation, where it's not just that they're killing off the current people living on the planet, they're killing off any future generations. And then when you combine that, and you'll love this part, with the cultural programming that is anti-family, that is anti-biology, where the entire culture is against the idea of sexual reproduction.
Exactly.
Which is the basis of the continuation of biological life. Sexual reproduction is under attack. So transgenderism, the LGBT lifestyles, these are part of wiping out humanity by cutting off any kind of sexual biological reproduction. And it's gotten so bad, you actually have these people now that call themselves nullos, where they slice off their own genitalia to be sexless, genderless. And that is insanity, and it has now taken hold in our culture.
Are you familiar with what they call, of the incel movement?
Oh, yeah, right. I've seen some things on that.
Well, what do you make of that?
Well,
isn't that along the lines of what you're talking about here?
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's all about programming people, especially programming people to not be in touch with your humanity. So we are creatures of this earth. You know, we're divinely created, but this is our home. We are compatible with this planet. And male-female reproduction is normal, and it is natural, and it is divine. And that is the way you continue the species. So any effort to interfere with that is going to be pushed by the CIA or the NSA or Google or Teen Vogue magazine, right? Which is pushing all kinds of crazy, insane stuff on the teenagers now. Or the drag queen story hour stuff. It's all part of the same agenda.
Do you know who I think is giving us clues? I think Vladimir Putin is. In the last few days, he has been very overt in saying, he's been expressing attacks on globalism, destroying the family, liberalism, undermining traditional cultures across the planet. And he said multiculturalism is a failure.
Yeah,
I think he's telling us in his way, in the manner that he can. He probably fears assassination if he just came out and said, hey, guys, ETs are behind this and this is the agenda. But I think he's dropping hints.
Well, you're going to be accused of working for the Russians.
I already have been. Washington Post, 2016.
There you go. But, Putin also rejected GMOs for Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about the toxins that are being released, both cultural toxins in America, you know, in Western culture, and the chemical toxins and genetic toxins that are all anti-life, the abortion industry, the infanticide push. You know, Russia has resisted most of these things. And, you know, Russia's got a lot of its own problems. It's certainly not the perfect rendition of what humanity could become. You know, it's not that free, right? But if anybody's left remaining on this planet, you know, it'll probably be them, because Western civilization is committing suicide. And not only with the illegal immigration and the migrants taking over everything, you know, London is no longer English anymore. But Western civilization is killing itself through all these exposures, you know, toxic chemicals, cultural poison, everything else.
This is, my head is spinning, because the things that I consume myself with on a daily basis, on the hierarchy of 1 being least important, 10 being most important, I've been hovering around 7 or 8.
Yeah.
I think this is 9.5, and let me ask you the one that'll take us to 10. The final agenda, and is there anything we can do about it? What would you identify as the final agenda, and do we have any course of action?
Well, I have thought about this with quite a bit of time. Number one, we of course have to reject the globalist control that's trying to get us to destroy ourselves. And we need to ally with the friendly factions. And we're going to need a planetary defense system. So that means we need transfer of exotic technology in order to defend ourselves. So you get back to The Colony, that show. It's not that, you know, it's not really that much fiction if you think about what could be coming. The thing is, the time scale here could be very long. It could be not just decades, but centuries before, you know, invasion or something like that, because the time scale at the cosmic scale and even faster than light travel and so on, it can take years or decades to move ships or material or resources from, you know, star to star, depending on where they're located in the Milky Way. So things happen on a very long time scale. So it's difficult to say what's going to happen in our lifetime. It might be very little, or it might be, we might be right on the verge of something huge happening. That's what's hard to say. The timeline here is very difficult to know.
I think you can make a good case about Philip Corso and technology transfer in the 1940s. And I think this is why the CIA and NSA were created, to cover this up. But this tech, we've done an unbelievable technology jump since World War II. Totally out of kilter for the rest of humanity in comparison. I wonder if the aliens didn't provide this technology to the global elite to subjugate us with.
Well, that's certainly a possibility. If so, there may be other areas of tech that they also transferred that we haven't seen yet, such as exotic propulsion systems or defensive systems. It's kind of in the same way where, you know, how the United States builds the most advanced weapon systems in the world, but then they sell them to, you know, Yemen or somebody like that, yeah. Right? But they only sell certain types of systems, and certainly not our best systems. Like I think we're still selling F-16s to Taiwan. Well, F-16s are decades old. You know, that's not cutting edge stuff, and it doesn't do well in a fight compared to anything modern from Russia or China. But if an alien civilization looks at us in that way, they might be willing to provide us with what they would consider to be low level tech, which to us would be amazing tech, you know, energy systems or propulsion systems or what have you. Or there's also the whole Bob Lazar approach to this, which is just reverse engineering tech that we've acquired through other means, such as crashed systems that we just stumbled upon. That's a possibility too.
I've been told the crash story, in other words, crash at Roswell, and we get this exotic technology from them, like night vision and so forth. I think that could be the cover story, because humanity won't freak out as much over that than if they knew there was a cabal of human elite receiving technology to wipe out most of this planet and hand it over to the ETs. That would send people out of their homes and onto the streets.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's why the plan is to eliminate all those people.
Yeah, exactly,
by the way,
exactly.
You know, the masses, what the globalists call the useless eaters. You know, 90% of the population has already been slated for elimination, and we also have to acknowledge that humanity has become incredibly stupid over the last, I don't know, 4 generations or so. It's just largely a bunch of sheeple. And it's hard to argue that those sheeple have any value to any society or any civilization. They're just consumers and, I guess, voters for the Democrats. They need them. But as far as contributing anything to even our world, not to mention other worlds, forget it. Their value is zero, especially from the point of view of globalists. So they're going to be eliminated. And those of us who are sort of aware of what's happening, we can survive that. We can survive that by saying no to the vaccines and no to 5G systems. And we can, you know, we can be outside the cities and we can be more self-reliant. We can make it. But then you're left on a planet with, you know, instead of 5 billion people, maybe 500 million people. And what happens next? Well, you're still vulnerable to everything else that's coming.
I know, but I hear what you're saying. And see, I raise this question frequently. Why would the globalists try to destroy the very environment of which they have to raise their children in? Answer, they've made another deal.
Well, yeah, and they don't want to destroy the ecosystem.
Right.
At all. They want a selective annihilation, which is why they won't use nuclear to do it. And that's really important to understand. Any nuclear accident is truly an accident. It's a mistake. But biological weapons may be quite deliberate and well-engineered.
Yeah, you know, we're going to do a disservice to the audience if we don't, again, tell them about Steve Quayle's conference.
Oh, yes.
And that's is September 13th to the 15th. I think it's over two-thirds sold out. The last time I talked to Steve about this was about a month ago. And I'm going to be there. And obviously, Mike's going to be there. And we want to meet you. And this is a great opportunity to come and get the latest. Last year's conference was on transhumanism, and I thought I was a pretty good consumer of the information, and I walked away with my head spinning. And I know this
sure.
Thing's going to happen here. And the two subjects are related. We already touched on that. So, Mike, you're speaking, I believe, on that Friday night.
That's right. Yeah, Friday night, 7 p.m. local time.
Well, myself and my wife are making the trip, and we're definitely going to be there, Mike. And, you know, just kind of a final thought here. We have talked about so many issues through the years. I just wonder what percentage of the people hearing this broadcast are going to say, you know, Hodges and Adams, they must be taking the same drugs. They're talking about ETs. What's wrong with these two?
That's funny.
But you know what? You know, you're a scientist. And I used to review and approve graduate-level thesis at a university. So we both are guided by the same principle. You have to follow the data.
Well, that's the thing. And it's not an out-there idea that we are not alone in this universe. In fact, it would be a fringe idea to think that we are alone.
Stupid
that would
idea.
Be
stupid.
The crazy
ignorant
thing.
And stupid. I totally agree with you. Mike, we're flat out of time, and I want to thank you for coming on. I'm really looking forward to meeting you in person at Branson, and everyone in the audience, same thing. Mike, thanks so much for joining us. His site is naturalnews.com, and he's banned a lot, and it just tells you why you should go there. They don't want you to read what he prints. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Dave.